This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We still don't have, at least in the downtown area, any evidence of any of the white stuff falling yet. I know it's probably in the western edges of our listening area. I don't know about you. I as I drive around, I try to pay attention to just how far this radio signal travels. It's one of the stronger radio signals in the area, to be honest with you. I've picked us up as far west as Jonesburg, if you're going to Jeff City, almost into where the highway dips down there on the other side of Jonesburg and comes back up. And sometimes on the other side of that, but then after that, I usually have to use the app. And I've picked us up to Mount Vernon for sure, traveling to the east. And I know we travel pretty far north and south. So there are areas that have some snow already. It just hasn't hit downtown. It hasn't hit the St. Louis metro area yet. They're expecting something around, let's say, 8 o'clock. Roughly. And then they think maybe it could disintegrate pretty quickly, the driving conditions. And that's why a lot of schools have closed. In the 5 o'clock hour this morning, I got the text that my daughter's school decided to go ahead and call off before a flake hit the ground. That's pretty funny. I can't help but to be the old guy on this. I just can't. We used to never, hardly ever got snow days unless there was something to the equivalent of a blizzard, it seems like. And these days, I guess because we're such a litigious society and they are just more conscious about that and they call school off sooner.
Mm-hmm. I think
it's got to be it.
I think there has been a shift because even when I was growing up, I don't remember having a ton of snow days. I don't know if people are just lawsuit, you know, eager to file lawsuits. And so they're doing it just out of liability concerns. But I know other districts that have done this. And you think about kids likely being off tomorrow and then Friday for some districts that have parent teacher conferences that were previously scheduled. Then you have a holiday Monday. So here we go again, round two of parents having to find coverage. And I'm guessing it's because of the freezing rain and sleet that they're talking about would be the biggest concern, because it doesn't sound like we're expected to get much as far as snow accumulation.
Well, at least not in the immediate, within 270. West and north, they are expected to get maybe 5-6 inches if you listen to the early estimates. So I don't know. Well, we're going to get Dave Murray on, importantly, the guy who does know, coming up here in a little over an hour, about 8:40. 8:45, we'll get Murray on here and talk about that right after Taylor Riggs in the 8 o'clock hour this morning talking about business. Love getting Taylor on here. She's whip smart. You talk about an overachiever, that young lady. I'm telling you what, degrees in finance. She's about to get her law degree. She's got a baby. She runs marathons all the time. It's kind of depressing to talk to her. I'm just kidding. She's great. One of our favorite guests. We'll get her on here about 8:35 this morning. Coming up next, Genevieve Wood is going to join us from the Heritage Foundation. Love getting her on here. The president announced last week that he's going to form a task force to look into anti-Christian bias in government. Right. It's the people on the left who are always screaming separation of church and state and all that. And basically what they're doing is targeting Christians in many cases. And Donald Trump's going to take a look at that. And there's a great article at the Daily Signal on that issue. And it's worse than you think. And we'll talk to Genevieve about that coming up. And then we'll get to Jeremy Rosenthal on some of the federal workers that are going to be taking buyouts. And what the legal ramifications are of that I hadn't really thought about. We'll get to all that for you coming up in just a minute. But right now, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
All right, I think this rolls into metropolitan St. Louis between about 8 and 10 a.m., a little earlier to the west. Then it tapers off late this afternoon.
Yeah, that was Matt Chambers, if you recognize that voice. My old co-worker over there at Channel 4 years ago. And Matt's still on the job this morning. In fact, they just went off the air at 7, but that's his idea when the snow might roll into St. Louis.
When it's developed, which will be in quite a while from now, because we want to let things calm down, it's going to bring tremendous numbers of jobs to the Middle East, including the people of your country.
Yeah, how about that? That's President Trump yesterday hosting the King of Jordan. Yeah, which is was pretty cool. And this guy's heaping praise on him. Listen.
With all the challenges that we have in the Middle East, that I finally see somebody that can take us across the finish line to bring stability, peace, and prosperity to all of us in the region.
Wow. Wonder what the king thinks of, Trump Tower on the Gaza Strip. I don't know. I didn't hear that. But it's interesting that he had those positive comments to say about the American government suddenly.
Elon's going to steal everybody's money. He has $400 billion. I'm telling you, he's not going to steal your money. What he's doing is, he's a super genius that's been f***ed with.
Joe Rogan, spelling it, laying it out there. I love what that guy had to say yesterday. He's like, you know, we're having these daily protests, would you call them? I guess they've been fairly peaceful so far, from what I can tell, of people angry that government might shrink. That's what it comes down to. It's lawfare all over again. There I saw one of them yesterday, one of the lefties. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. He's a senator. He tweeted out on X all of their victories so far. You know what he considers a victory? A judge stepping in to stop Donald Trump from cutting the size of government. The left is on the losing side of this argument. Americans see what's going on. Americans, they do. It was almost like the student debt issue with Joe Biden. Since a smaller percentage of Americans actually have student debt than those who either didn't go to college or paid their way as they went, they're all looking at Joe Biden thinking, why should my tax dollars go to relieve somebody else's debt, whether it's for college education or a pickup truck or whatever they spent the money on? Why are we paying for it? And I believe, Kim, that the American public, and if you look at the polls, I think I'm right, are looking at this issue thinking, wow, why are we spending all that money on this? And why are Democrats so mad that we're trying to stop it?
I agree. It's funny to see how upset they've been when, to me, this seems like it'd be an obvious thing that should have happened years ago. And it's a good thing, just exposing all the ways we're spending that are just ridiculous. I'm assuming that the left's concern is, you know, you're cutting our DEI programs. The funding is needed for that. You're going to make it difficult for LGBTQ students because you're going to cut funding to that. So that has to be my, I'm telling myself that's why they're so upset, because otherwise it makes absolutely no sense.
No. No, they pray to the altar of big government. I've said that before. The thought of it shrinking terrifies them. And I just don't get it, that they truly believe the answer to everything is another government program. And the thought that this rich guy, and they're trying to demonize Elon Musk, is somehow their enemy. And that's why they're attacking him so much every single day. Many of them calling for violence against people who are like carrying it into the streets. If Republicans were saying that, could you imagine how the media would be reacting? And for the most part, it's been media silence. I've not heard many critical stories at all from the mainstream media on that one, for sure. All right, coming up, I mentioned we're going to get to our friend Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation. She's taking a look at that issue of anti-Christian bias in government and what this task force might just uncover. We're looking forward to that. We're going to be back with that in just a minute. All right, time for us to get to our friend Genevieve Wood, of course, from the Heritage Foundation, and we've got her on the phone this morning. Genevieve, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
It's great to have you on. You know, I was just watching this. Yes, I don't know how to keep up. I've joked with some of the network people about this. You go out one day to talk about something, and you have a good idea what you want to talk about the next day, and Trump does something else, like bring home a teacher who's been languishing in a prison in Russia for 3.5 years. And I said, yeah, minus the last 3 weeks, who was in charge for the last 3.5 years? Brittany Griner got to come home. We traded her for some mass murderer. And this guy's been languishing in prison over there for the last 3 years. What a shame.
It is a shame, but what a glorious thing that he's home. And I loved hearing the interview yesterday with his 95-year-old brother, who apparently, you know, saw Trump at the Butler rally and said, "Would you please do everything you can to bring my son home?" He's like, "I'm going to do exactly that." And, you know, as his son, as Bart said when he got off the plane last night, you know, you made a promise and you kept it. It's great to see any American come home. But this idea of hostages, Mark, is something, I mean, we're dealing with this in Gaza. You have to have a president like President Trump who other countries fear that he will do what he says, that they fear they don't know what he'll do if they don't deliver and return our citizens.
Yes.
And that's why I think that's why you're seeing action in the Middle East. It's why you saw him coming home from Russia last night. They did not fear the Biden administration at all. But they do fear this one in the right way, in the way of knowing they actually mean business. They're standing up for their country, and we're going to pay a price if we don't play along.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you're seeing these results.
Well, the other thing, Genevieve, and I would point this out, I watched J.D. Vance address a crowd of foreign executives and leaders yesterday on AI. It was one. I watched all 15 minutes of that speech. I was mesmerized by it. And I thought to myself, one reason we immediately have more respect in the world is they know there's somebody in charge now who gets it. J.D. Vance gets it. Donald Trump gets it. You never got that impression from the Biden administration.
No, and I didn't see his speech, but every article headline as it said, or I've read, says basically it was a masterclass, his presentation. No, look, they get it, and they're not afraid to say it. I mean, this is the thing, Mark, right? They're not afraid to say, we're standing up for America. Here are the problems in the world. Here's how we plan to deal with them. Some of it's going to be tough, but we're going to have to do what it takes to get it done. We're committed to the long haul. We're committed to restoring the golden age in this country. And we're committed to saying to other countries who have not treated us as well as they should have, as the president likes to say,
yes,
your time is up. And people believe them. You know, I always love when you hear the left, like, when people tell you who they are, believe them, right? I'm like, who people believe are Trump and Vance and this new administration. They believe they're going to do what because they're doing it.
Yep.
And I think you have to believe leaders around the world see what's actually happening in this country as well, and all the things that are happening that the president promised when he ran, that I'm going to secure the border, we're going to go after government waste and abuse. They see that happening, and they're like, crud, he may believe what he said about foreign policy, too. It's really refreshing Does they say have the parents back in charge?
You know, talking about him just keeping his promises, like you said, one of the big ones was protecting our border, closing it off. And, you know, we have several restaurants, I think more than a dozen here in the St. Louis area, who are going to be closing in protest of these supposed, you know, ICE raids that are going on. We know at least one restaurant had ICE show up in this area. My question would be, why are you so scared if you're here legally? Unless you did something wrong, unless you came here illegally and potentially committed a crime, why are you so nervous about being taken into custody?
Well, I mean, I think that's why they are nervous, Kim. I think you're exactly right. Look, we don't know what the exact number is, but we know there are upwards of 10, 20 million people here illegally. That's a lot of people, right? I mean, I know we're a country 300 plus million, but 20 million is a big number, and it may be more than that. So I think you have a lot of people who may not have been like hardened criminals in their previous countries, but they did become a criminal by crossing the border here illegally and staying here, whether it's overstaying a visa, coming illegally in the first place. And I think some of the idea of sending people back who are these criminals is also to send the message to others. You can voluntarily go back. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for us to come and find you. Mm-hmm. Go back and try coming back the right way. And so I think you're going to see hopefully more and more people make those decisions. But look, this is going to be, you're going to see some of these crazy mayors and sanctuary cities try to block ICE from coming in. You're going to see some activists like restaurants and what have you and mayors. But I think this administration, I mean, you watch any interview with Tom Homan, he seems to be, you're just agging him on when you do that kind of stuff.
It's true.
They're coming after you.
I've only got about a minute and a half left, but I did want to mention this anti-Christian bias task force that the president set up. It's worse than people think, isn't it?
It is worse than people think. I mean, the reality is we've had a federal government, especially under Biden, but not just then, that has really demonized Christians while at the same time favoring, you know, their ideological opponents. I mean, look at the whole LGBTQ agenda and how that's been used, not to say we're going to be nice to people in that community, but use it to try to shut down debate, discussion, and people who disagree with those lifestyles, right? I mean, they use it to prosecute and go after people. Remember, was it just last year at Easter Sunday where they the White House named Easter Sunday Transgender Visibility Day?
Yes, that was.
I mean,
yep.
Really, you pick Easter Sunday to do that, the most holy day in the Christian calendar. You couldn't have done it the Saturday before, the Friday after. You had to pick Easter Sunday. I mean, that is an attack. It's a signal saying, you know, this is what we worship, basically.
Yep.
And if you don't worship this, you're going to be in trouble with society. We're going to put pressure on you. And so, I mean, that's just one minor example. There's so many others we could talk about.
Well, I'm glad that the president is I can't keep up with him, but I'm glad he's paying attention to that as well, along with everything else. Genevieve, thank you as always.
Kim, Mark, great to be with you.
You bet. Heritage.org, DailySignal.com. Coming up, we're going to talk about the lawfare that may be about to take place, already starting to take place, this time regarding the illegals were sent to Guantanamo.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been told I have 30 seconds, so I am going to tell you that we do have to... I don't swear in public very well, but we have to Trump! Children that I just did that.
Does that not speak volumes about the crazies on the left and the Democratic Party in this country? They've been protesting every single day, and they're so low on arguments that they have to encourage this woman who doesn't cuss much to stand up and drop the F-bomb. You know, somebody told her to do that. Maxine Dexter is her name. She's a Democratic congresswoman from Oregon. And they're so anxious to try to sound edgy that they think if they just stand up and MF Donald Trump, then somehow that's gaining. The only people that's firing up is the hard left in this country. That's what they're trying to do with this talk of a takeover and, you know, Elon Musk being a threat to democracy and unelected and blah, 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 blah. It just never ends. And now we're in a situation where you've got Trump taking a lot of heat from the courts. If you've looked at this situation, what's happened is not surprising. These Democrats have gone and they've judge shopped. And I've got a printout of it here. These judges that they've selected, hand selected, for the most part, were appointees of Biden, because he's got a whole bunch of them recently. Several of them who were complained about in the Judiciary Committee as having obvious bias in their past lives before being appointed to the bench. Judge Angel Kelly, Judge Amy Berman Jackson, they were all appointed by either Barack Obama or Joe Biden. And now it's a different kind of lawfare, in my opinion, but they're judge shopping to try to get federal judges who they know politically agree with them to step in and make decisions that block Donald Trump from doing certain things. And you got to think maybe the next one that's coming, if I'm sure it's probably been filed already, is dealing with Guantanamo. We've got Jeremy Rosenthal with us this morning. He is an attorney, and we've had him on, I know, in the past about on some of these legal issues. Jeremy, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. What do we think is happening now that the first of these illegal aliens who've been flown into Guantanamo, they've all landed there and they've been placed in, I guess, holding cells in Guantanamo. Had the legal challenges already started to that?
If they haven't, they will. And I'll tell you this much. Look, when lawyers need to make a lot of money, and this is the closest thing you're ever going to see to a legal stimulus package, there is so much mud and there's going to be so many lawsuits out of this that it's crazy. And look, everybody's going to win a little bit. Everybody's going to lose a little bit. But yeah, and Donald Trump, knowing his crowd, knowing his audience, you know, knowing his strengths, they shipped the worst of the worst gang members out there first. So basically saying to his opponents, look, if you're going to be fighting, you're going to be fighting for these cartel guys. But yes, these are going to be hot and heavy legal challenges.
Well, somebody pointed out to me, Jeremy, that the first person to do this was Bill Clinton, that Bill Clinton held illegal deportees in Guantanamo back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. And what's happened, right, over the last 20 years, that's where we held the 9/11 detainees.
Right.
And what has happened in those 20 years is there has been specific case law to Guantanamo Bay that triggers what's called habeas corpus, which allows people imprisoned on Guantanamo to petition their captivity. So think of it like this, right? Let's say I am the worst criminal in the history of St. Louis, right? Worse than Mark McGuire, who are some of my Chris Pronger? He beat the Stars. I'm in Dallas. Yeah, worse than any of those guys, right? And let's just say that they're undocumented, okay? Right? You're with me, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so they're undocumented and they're on trial or they're facing murder charges in St. Louis. We ship them out to Guantanamo Bay. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say, I've got the right to counsel and my lawyer's in St. Louis, and you took me away from him.
I see.
So that is going to be the very, very first type of challenge that you see. And then it gets even muddier because, and here's where the lawyers, this is where we make our real money, right? Guantanamo Bay is not a territory. It's in Cuba and it's a military base. So you've been deported already. That's the argument. You're saying you're deporting me without all of my due process. These are not popular arguments, but this is all the mud that we're sort of talking about here.
Do you think that that argument has enough legs to stand on, that some of these people who have been sent there to Guantanamo Bay could soon be sent back?
It's possible that could happen. I think this thing's going to meet in the middle. Okay. Now, Donald Trump is saying, I'm going to put 30,000 people on Gitmo. That's not going to work. And it's not going to work for no other reason. I don't know that they got the toilets there. Okay. So I think that I don't think he thinks that it's going to completely work like that. I think that he's going to get a lot of the coverage that he wants out of this by shipping the real bad dudes over there. But this lands somewhere in the middle because it's going to depend on a case-by-case basis where these people's cases are in the United States. And here's something else to fear, right? Let's say you've got a really, really bad cartel member that you have taken from St. Louis and he's facing, let's say, a capital murder charge, and then you ship him to Guantanamo Bay, and from Guantanamo Bay, they ship him back to Guatemala or Colombia. Guess where he's coming? Guess where he's coming back? You want to guess?
St. Louis?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. So you got to be careful what you ask for here. Maybe the best thing is that you let him go to the Missouri Department of Corrections for 60 years or a life sentence. That may be some of the legal issues that you're kind of grappling with here. But again, this is why lawyers make the big bucks, and we should be paid every nickel that we ask for on time.
Hey, Jeremy, a check's in the mail, by the way, just so you know.
Thanks, guys.
by the way, we're talking to Jeremy Rosenthal as an attorney. The other story I wanted to mention was, of course, all of these people that have already submitted their resignation to take Donald Trump up on his offer of early retirement, I guess, so to speak, a buyout. Do they have legal repercussions if they've already accepted the buyout?
They're climbing the mountain without a rope, so to speak, which is just another way of saying that. Look, the president can dictate what you do as a federal employee most of the time, unless Congress has had a law otherwise. But he doesn't have the purse strings. That's Congress, right? We all know that. So the problem is that this money is not guaranteed. And if you take this, if you resign voluntarily, can you later, if you get stiffed, which could happen, because, again, this money is not yet authorized. If you get stiffed, can you take the government to court? You might not be able to. So it's a little bit of buyer beware here.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Hey, Jeremy Rosenthal, listen, we appreciate you giving us some time this morning. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Have a good morning.
Yeah, you too. Very true. I like him. He kind of puts it in easy-to-understand layman terms.
You know what I like? If you're watching our show on social media right now,
yes,
then you would see that just in the last couple of weeks, we've started putting pictures up of guests, and Carl found a very, very studious image of Jeremy Rosenthal.
Yeah, I will give Matthew credit. He found it, and he's like, this is on his website. Should we use this one? I said, oh, yes.
He's reading a book. He looks like I'm thinking for whatever reason, maybe it's because I just watched it, but Belle from Beauty and the Beast, like opening his book and reading it.
For the shot, yeah. Looks like it's in a studio somewhere. Like, yeah, very good.
Candid action shot. Maybe all pictures of our guests should be action shots.
Like, hey, Nicole laughing.
Wait a minute. We got an important guest on the line. We got to get to a quick break here. We've got Chad Pergram up on Capitol Hill this morning talking about this crazy reaction they've got so far to Doge and what exactly it is that they're worried about and what their plan is to fight it. So we'll get to Chad when we come back.
We do find it sort of rather odd that, there are quite a few people in the bureaucracy who have ostensibly a salary of a few $100,000, but somehow manage to accrue tens of millions of dollars in net worth while they are in that position, which is, what happened to USAID. We're just curious as to where it came from. Maybe they're very good at investing, in which case we should take their investment advice, perhaps. But there seems to be mysteriously they get wealthy. We don't know why. Where do they come from? I think the reality is that they're getting wealthier at the taxpayer expense. That's the honest truth of it.
Wow. I don't know about you, but my guess is alcohol sales are spiking in Washington, D.C. right now. Let's get to Chad Pergram, senior congressional correspondent for Fox News. Chad, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, every day now, I think for the past week, there's been a new protest with people screaming at Donald Trump and Elon Musk and dropping F-bombs and everything. The Democrats are dogging Elon Musk over this Doge thing.
Yeah, every day there's a demonstration. There's two ways to look at this. Number one, Democrats are saying, look, we don't think that they are following the Constitution. It's pretty clear that Congress has the power of the purse, and they just can't go in unilaterally and cut this money and take this action. There is a little bit of leniency given to administrations, given to the executive branch, and that's fair. But Democrats think this is too far. Here's the political problem for Democrats. Generally, the public seems to embrace this and like this, to get hung up on these things. I don't want to call them technicalities because it is serious. But to talk about the details here, talk about the process, that's usually not a winning argument, even if they're right about the Constitution. So I posed this question to Chuck Schumer yesterday. I said, I understand the concerns about adhering to the Constitution and, checks and balances and division of power between the executive branch and the legislative branch. I said, but are you guys missing the political ball? And he kind of sloughed that off a little bit, saying, no, he said, people will start to understand this when they start to impact veterans benefits or health care benefits for the elderly or whatnot. And maybe that's true. Sometimes when you build an opposition like this, the benefits are not obvious right away.
Yes.
Obviously, the administration has the upper hand right now. They're new in town. There's usually a bit of a grace period or a honeymoon given to administrations. We're probably in that period right now. But if this does start to impact people in a way that is adverse, or they talk about the price of eggs and food and everything else, they don't start to see differences there. Well, who are they going to blame? You know who.
It's true. Now, Russell Vogt is now confirmed at OMB, right? That's got to be another big blow to them.
Yeah, they kept the Senate in session all night just to run out all the time on that last week. And they're very concerned that, from some of his plans, he might be the biggest advocate and has said as much in certain circumstances, maybe recalibrating the tension between the executive branch and the legislative branch as it pertains to spending. Today, expect big time fireworks. The first subcommittee on Doge has its hearing. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican from Georgia, chairs that subcommittee. Jasmine Crockett, who's a Democrat from Texas, has indicated that this will be a brawl. So, if you want to tune in, that could be very interesting TV to watch. A little more tamer, the Senate Budget Committee is starting to prep its budget blueprint. This is the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. And I talk about tension. There is tension between the Republican House and the Republican Senate, because Lindsey Graham, the chairman of that budget committee in the Senate, he's moving ahead with his plan, and it doesn't quite match what the House has put together. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, has expressed his displeasure at Graham moving ahead. Graham brought in Tom Homan, the border czar, and also the aforementioned Russ Vogt yesterday to make the case for $175 billion in extra spending to deal with the border for the next couple of years. And meantime, the Republicans, the jury is still out as to whether or not they can get their budget through a committee tomorrow. As I always say, it's about the math. And I talked to a member of the budget committee this morning on the Republican side, and I said, what's your forecast? And they said, well, I do believe in miracles. So there is tension between the Republicans in the House and the Republicans in the Senate.
And I understand, not to get off the subject because I have one more question on it, but they delayed Tulsi Gabbard's vote because of the snow last night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Her vote would have come about 12:31 in the morning. It's still snowing lightly in Washington. There's pretty good snowfall here in D.C., and so she will be confirmed this morning. That vote will be at 11 o'clock Eastern time, 10 Central, and then they will break the filibuster on the nomination of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for HHS Secretary. His confirmation vote will come tomorrow. And what they did call off, though, because of the snow, was the confirmation hearing for the Labor Secretary nominee, who might have some pushback from Republicans. We believe there might be as many as 15 Republicans who do not like Lori Chavez Dreamer, who is up for that position because she is too pro-labor.
Huh.
Her hearing will be next week, postponed today because of the snow.
Yeah, Chad Pergram with us this morning up on Capitol Hill. Chad, I probably got a couple minutes left here. I can't think of anybody better to explain this in layman's terms. To people watching this from the outside, they see DOGE making all these recommended cuts and the left screaming, you can't do that, Congress can. Well, we control Congress now. Why can't they just make this part of the reconciliation bill?
Well, certain things would fit into reconciliation. And I asked House Speaker Mike Johnson that very question yesterday. I said, will some of those things be codified? And that's where Republicans are saying, we will, control some of the spending on this. You're right. But so far, most Republicans have been willing to give deference to them. I asked Johnson a question last week. I said, for years, we have heard Republicans grouse on Capitol Hill about unelected bureaucrats making decisions in the executive branch. I said, so is that inconsistent? Now, suddenly we have ceded all this power to Elon Musk. And Johnson said, well, I think the media is making too big a deal out of that. He said, I don't think that we're doing that. But that's something I have heard privately from some Republicans, which is why I asked Johnson that very question.
Yeah.
Whether you like Elon Musk or not, that is the argument that Republicans made for years. And now suddenly they have somebody who has more control over the federal government, who is a, quote, unelected bureaucrat, and they're willing to be hands off, at least for the time being.
Hmm. Chad, we always appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Chad Pergram there up on the Capitol Hill this morning. Seems like a fair question. I can't imagine Chip Roy and all these guys aren't chomping at the bit to help institute some of these cuts that have been recommended. So that hearing today between Marjorie Taylor Greene and the congresswoman there out of Texas, ought to be,
correct.
I'm sure we'll have some great MGT or MTG and Jasmine Crockett bites tomorrow morning.
I feel like these congressional hearings have become almost like must-watch TV.
Is.
Like, when have they been that exciting where people actually want to sit down and watch a hearing?
Wow.
Kim,
I know.
Do you like that picture of Chad?
Oh, that is a good picture.
Let me go check.
Is that doctored?
No, it's an action shot.
Oh, very nice.
Oh,
him in the Capitol
building.
For Fox up there. Kim, we're going to get to, we moved Kim on a whim so we could fit in Chad Pergram right there, but we're going to do that at 8:20. What are we talking about?
Let's talk about the New Jersey teachers who were under fire for wearing these T-shirts that said Gulf of America. Should they be allowed to wear them?
I love it. We'll get to all that and more for you coming up after the top of the hour. Stay tuned.